Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 15th day of June, 2020. And I'm delighted to have back on as a returning guest one of my former pastors, my most recent former pastor, before moving to Pennsylvania. His name is Mark Grimaldi, and he's one of two pastors at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York. And we are going to be addressing part two of a discussion we began a number of weeks ago on a new book that is coming out titled The Christ, The Whole Christ, and Nothing But the Christ. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Mark Grimaldi.
Yes, Chris, it is always a pleasure. I appreciate you having me on again.
Oh, it's great to have you on. And why don't you tell our listeners about Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick?
Yes, Grace Reformed Baptist Church. We are, as you see in the title, a Reformed Baptist Church. And we hold to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith as our confession of faith. And we would uphold, especially as the core to our faith, would be the five points of Calvinism, but especially the five solas of the Reformation as well. That would be the heartbeat of our church. And we hope that if you're in town or you're near our area, that you would come to visit us.
Great. And if anybody wants to look up more information about this wonderful church, where I was a member for, somewhere starting in the 1980s, when it was Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, and all the way through 2014, they had merged in 1995 with First Baptist of Merrick and became Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. So if you include the Amityville years, it's definitely a couple of decades there.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants to find out more information, the website is gracereformedbaptistchurch.org, gracereformedbaptistchurch.org. Now, if you could, since we are going to try to cover some territory that we didn't cover the first time, give an overview, a summary of what we've already addressed from your book.
We had talked last time probably about the general sense of what the book is about. As you know, the title is The Christ, The Whole Christ, and Nothing But the Christ. And the subtitle for that is Why the Christian Gospel Must Be Exclusive. And so what I try to do with this book is deal with the issue of why Christianity must be exclusive, that it's not an issue of hatred, it's not an issue of disrespect for others or being proud or arrogant, but it really comes down to the necessity that we have as fallen mankind, the necessity that we have to have an atonement, and Christ is that atonement, to pay for our sins, and that why Jesus Christ is the only way we can be reconciled to God, because of who God is. And so that's addressed in the book, because of who we are and because of the need that we have to ensure that we're reconciled to God. So I really get down to why Christianity is exclusive, and I deal with those three topics: the Christ, why he is necessary, the whole Christ, why Christ as the God-man, him being fully God and fully man, why it's necessary to believe that and to understand that for him to be a viable Savior for us, And then the next part is, and nothing but the Christ, just showing that we cannot add anything to that, certainly not take away, but it can't be Christ and anything else, and why it's important to believe that Christ alone in his fullness is necessary to save us. So I think we summarized some of those things. We probably went in off in into some of those areas a little bit deeper and so on, but we didn't get through the whole thing. But I think that's a little bit of a summary of where we went.
Great, and I just figured out on my calculator here that I was a member of Grace Reformed Baptist Church, including the Calvary Baptist years, for 29 years.
Wow. Man, that was some of the worst times in our church history. Just kidding.
And this issue of the exclusivity of Christ, there are some who think that they are still remaining faithful to that merely by saying it is absolutely necessary that Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sin in order for us to be saved. But these folks, which are more prevalent than one might think, they would include the likes of the late Billy Graham and others, they will insist that Jesus Christ was the only one that could and did pay the price for sin. But they will say, you don't have to know that. You could live an entire life on this earth as a Muslim and possibly even an atheist. And if you're living your life according to the light you've been given, you may be in heaven with Christians one day. Now, this is really a lie from the pit of hell, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The problem with that, Chris, as you know, is that completely contradicts what all of Scripture teaches. Not only just in understanding the nature of the atonement and the need for us to be in union by Christ, with Christ, and the importance of faith, as Scripture keeps emphasizing the importance of faith. But in Romans chapter 10, especially, it even talks about how, or the necessity of people from the church being sent out to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the salvation that is in Christ alone. Because he says, Paul says, and it's a sense of a dilemma there, he says, how are they going to hear? How are people going to hear this message and be saved and be brought into this unless someone is sent, unless they actually hear the message? So there's an urgency for people to hear the message of Christ and to believe that message, consciously to believe that message and to trust in Christ and to repent as well. And so that's emphasized throughout the Scriptures, but Paul makes it an extreme necessity in Romans chapter 10, leaving no room for this idea of, you know, if you may not even know it. That's just a way of trying to appeal to everyone and to appease everyone, not wanting to sound harsh, not wanting to sound like people are condemned. But it's wrong, and it does a lot more damage, even though he had good intentions, perhaps. It does a lot more damage than good.
Yes, people rail against Calvinism because they say that it is unfair, that it is unfair for some to have been chosen before the foundation of the world, where God will certainly, through the activity of the Holy Spirit, overcome the rebellion of their hearts that flees from Christ. And with certainty, these specific individuals will have their hearts of stone replaced with hearts of flesh, and they will be saved. And others will be left in their wicked state, and they will go to hell for eternity. And people think that that is unfair, as if those who were among the reprobate, those that are never elected or regenerated by Jesus Christ, as if those other folks, the reprobate, would have otherwise come to Christ willingly. But this is a farce, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a farce. Yeah, the problem is, Chris, as you know, and we see this in Ephesians, the first three chapters, certainly in Romans 9, it's understanding the condition of mankind. What condition is man in? Is he in a situation where he's just injured to some degree, or is he dead in his sin? And the scriptures tell us that we're dead in sin. So in Adam, we're all fallen, and there is none of us because of that. There's none of us that seeks after God. As it says in Romans, we all have become a filthy thing. We become those who do not seek God naturally. Talks about we speak lies and so on. And so that's our nature. And so if we understand how desperate condition our nature is in, as far as the deadness of our souls, being outside of fellowship with God in any sense, then we realize that we're not going to naturally choose God. Sometimes I use the illustration of if you go to a restaurant and there's a particular food item on the menu that you absolutely hate, whatever that item may be, let's just say that it's squid. You know, you hate squid, you'll never eat squid. And you look at that menu, and there's squid on there. You can order the squid, it's on the menu, but the reality is you will not order it because you hate it. You're not going to do that. And so the same thing with us. We may make choices, in a sense, but our choices only operate from within the bounds of the desire of our hearts, and we cannot naturally desire God. We naturally hate God. And so when we think about the gospel being preached to us, it's like preaching to a gravestone, right? The bones aren't going to come up out of the ground. They're dead. Unless God resurrects those bones, as he gives an illustration of in Ezekiel, resurrects those dry bones, or Lazarus coming from the tomb was a picture of that, then we can believe, and then that's when life is given. One other quick thing, in Romans chapter 11, sometimes chapter 9, we forget the later part of that text where it talks about as well that unless God had left us a seed, we would have all been like Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the scriptures teach that when you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, when you look at the destruction that came upon the earth on Noah's day, that's the general direction that mankind goes. That's the general way that our hearts move, in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the direction of what happened at the Tower of Babel. We're always moving away from God. But unless we find grace in God's sight like Noah did, unless God works in us and regenerates us and compels us in that sense through his Spirit, nobody is going to respond to the gospel. It's not going to happen. We have no desire. It's that food on the item that we hate. So we won't do it.
And this, of course, is because we haven't inherited the sins of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden. And from the moment of our conception, we are totally depraved, which I know some Calvinists object to this phraseology, that we're not as bad as we could be because God restrains our evil. Perhaps it might be better explained that we do not behave as wickedly as our natural hearts would lead us to, apart from divine intervention of some kind, apart from some kind of restraint of our evil, and therefore we solely live our lives to please ourselves, even if on the surface, when we go about our lives and do gracious deeds, it seems, sacrificial things and so on, we're only doing those because of the restraint of our evil of God, and there is some kind of ulterior motive, whether we even recognize it in our day-to-day activities, because we want others to see how wonderful we are, or we could go on and on with a list of reasons. But we're never going to, I mean, the scriptures are clear that we cannot please God in the flesh. Is that Romans 8:8?
It is a couple texts in 1 Corinthians also talks about that, but also, I think it's in Romans. Yeah.
Man cannot please God in the flesh. And that would include, would it not, offering to God a faith that pleases him enough to allow us to spend an eternity with him. Most of Christendom, which would be those outside of the Reformed faith, believe we could conjure up somehow this faith before we are born again. and offer it to Christ in order to become born again. But but this is a fallacy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a fallacy. The idea there is that what people are saying and who would believe that, and there are good people who believe that, but we would say that it's error, and if you left it to its natural course, it would be real. It could be real serious heresy. But it's like if you have something that's completely dead, right, or even a dead, let's say you have something that's not plugged into the wall, right, that whatever that is, that electronic device, is not going to be able to function in any sense or to do anything positive until it's plugged in first. And so in the same sense with us, we're not going to believe, we're not going to come to Christ if we're dead in sin unless this first, the Spirit of God, regenerates us. So there are people who think regeneration follows faith, but that's not true. Regeneration precedes faith and is the only reason we have faith, and then what follows is conversion. So I think that the people tend to mix up the idea of conversion, which is the life change that takes place as an evidence of that faith. You start to live in a new direction. That's conversion. You see that change. With regeneration, which is something that's happening inside of us, it's not our action at all. It's not our cooperation in any sense. It's what the Spirit of God does so that he gives life. He puts life in us so that when we hear that gospel, you have two guys in the same pew hearing the same message. You have Joe and Bill. Joe has done the most heinous things from a moral standpoint imaginable. Bill has been a morally decent guy his whole life, but he hasn't known the Lord. And Joe is this dog of every sort, with every kind of crime imaginable. And yet Joe hears the message, the same message Bill does, and Joe believes, and Bill doesn't. And so the difference between Joe and Bill is not that Joe somehow had some kind of a moral direction in him or some kind of ability to regenerate himself. It's that by God's grace, God had reached into the heart of Joe and turned him, brought him life so that he would respond to the gospel, and Bill left unchanged.
And one of the reasons this is right in keeping with the theme today, the theme of your book and the theme of our interview, is because Reformed theology is really the only system of theology that gives 100% of the credit to God and God alone for our salvation. Even though the vast majority of our Arminian friends, especially if they might be in a state of worship where they're not exactly writing down or describing in pinpoint accuracy their theology and doctrine, if they are in this point of worship, especially, or prayer, they're going to sound like they believe just as we do, that they give all the glory to God for their salvation. And that's why, I guess, J.I. Packer said that all Christians are Calvinists on our knees. But they really can't get around that they are, in some sense, helping God to save them. I mean, there's really no way around that, is there?
No, and even when you go to, let's say, the most conservative extreme in that standpoint, where you say, okay, there's prevenient grace. So God does everything, and not all Arminians would even come here, but God does everything on his part to give you everything that you could possibly need to bring you to believe. Everything is there, and they try to attribute it to the glory of God because of that, but there's still, at the end of the day, there's that little switch of belief that you have to flick on. And so there's that, and in their mind, it would seem like a little thing, but it really is. It would be the difference between the individual believes and everybody else. And at the end of the day, there's a sense in which you can still say, look, you know, I believed, you know, I did that. And that is contrary, really, throughout the whole theme of Scripture, for God's desire to glorify his name, for God's desire to ensure that no one boasts. That if we boast in anything, it's only in the cross of Christ. We're bankrupt of anything to boast of in ourselves. And Scripture is very, very clear in that. And so unless God is the one who does that work completely, giving regenerating us, faith is a gift of God, all of us would become like Sodom and Gomorrah. God didn't separate a seed from himself. And I think that's one of the big things when you're talking to Arminians, who, again, a lot of dear brothers in the Arminian, who believe Arminian theology, I think as those who are of a Calvinist lean, you know, we want to be careful not just to throw things, you know, throw verses at them like spears and look what it says here. But I think if you present to people a good understanding of anthropology, of the doctrine of man, understanding the reality of man's nature, just how fallen we are, just how the inability of man to do those things, if we focus there, it may help to present the bigger picture of why this is necessary. You know, that there is no, and also, from, I think you said, the glory of God. It's this is the means of God glorifying himself. Why should God, who's created all things, and we've rebelled against him, and we're all in sin, we're everything that God hates, which is a lot more serious than we even understand. The reality of our natural, fallen, sinful hearts in the sight of God's holiness is something we talk about, we preach about, we get a little bit of a notch up on understanding it at times, but I don't think any of us understand the full magnitude of that, because we don't understand the full magnitude of God's holiness. But when we understand something of that, and we realize that as God has created all these things and we're fallen, the fact that he even reaches in and says, I'm going to redeem anyone, to expect him to do that for any other reason than for his own glory is like rebellion in itself. It's to think that that anybody else should be able to say that we've done anything when God is saving anyone in the condition that we're in, as contrary as we are to God. We should be able to say it's right. It's God is right to do that, and to show his righteousness, even his righteous display of wrath on those who are condemned. Now, we don't want to see anybody condemned, because we know what we deserve, and we love others. We want to see people saved. But God has a right, as God, to display his righteous wrath and his righteous justice in the condemnation of the wicked, and also his grace and his love to those who don't deserve any of it, but through the condemnation of Christ, receive life. And that's what Romans 9 talks about. God has the right to do that.
And I think a lot of the problem that those outside of the Reformed faith have in recognizing the truths of what we believe is that when you observe things from an earthly sense, the way that they think, their ordo salutis seems to be the accurate one, because a lot of what we who are Calvinists believe, if it were not recorded in the Word, we would likely follow along with what an Arminian thinks. Because, like, for instance, you know, you have the psalmist in Psalm 51 crying out to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And when any time a sinner collapses to his knees, like the tax collector in the temple, when the Pharisee was praying and bragging about himself, and he said, I thank you that I'm not a sinner like this tax collector, and the tax collector, with his head bowed down, said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. One of my most beloved texts of all of the Bible, because that was the verse that my mother on her deathbed used to explain why none of her goodness was getting her into heaven. But when we see these things, it looks like their faith is preceding their salvation. But that's just because we don't see the heart of stone being removed. We don't see these things going on behind the scenes invisibly, that God is working out sovereignly in the lives of his people.
Yeah, there's no physical feeling necessarily associated with regeneration. There's nothing where God actually, you know, appears to you in some sense. And so, like you said, Chris, it's a work that's done inside of us, inside the soul, that it's not something we can identify and with, other than when we see the result of it. It's just like what John the apostle talks about, what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You know, when we don't see the wind, but we see the result of it when we see the wind, when we see the leaves blowing, and that's the picture of those who are born of the Spirit being born again. It's this work that the Spirit does, and you don't really understand how where it's coming from, how the Lord works those things, but you know it's happened because you see the leaves blowing, you see the wind, you see the evidence of the wind and what's taking place in the tree. Well, same thing in the believer. You start to, there's a belief there, there's a faith there, and now it acts with a desire to now serve the Lord, to follow Him, to listen to His word. Morality starts to come into play in a sense of you want to do things that, you know, that are honoring to God. You drop those things that you've been doing that have been sinful, and you're in that process of sanctification. So you went from one realm to another. And from our standpoint, yes, we made that profession, we prayed, we believed, and it doesn't necessarily mean it was at a specific moment. It could have been a gradual thing. But there's a work that God does that we can't identify and say, look, I remember the exact moment that God regenerated me. No, we might remember the moment we believed, and it might have been right at the same time. You know, maybe it was similar, you know, in that sense, but we can't, it's not a feeling or something we can put our finger on in a material sense.
Right, and the thing that one of the reasons why I refuse to discount our Arminian brethren as brethren, and of course there are some Arminians who are lost, and there are some professed Calvinists who are lost.
Yeah,
but one of the reasons that I defend them against accusations that they are all, by necessity of their theology, damned, is that very thing that I just said before. I think that we need to be patient with them because a lot of what they believe is just so logical to them because that's what they observe in humanity. They're not. They should be going by the whole counsel of God in His written word in order to formulate their theology and doctrine, but they are overwhelmed by what they see physically.
Yeah, I think there's like you said, there are a lot of Armenians, I believe a lot, that are saved. In fact, in the area of practically living based upon the doctrine they have and the light that they have, there are many who put Calvinists to shame, you know, in many ways. Not all, but I'm saying there are many who do. They're just really out there, zealous for the Lord. They love the Lord. They have a solid understanding of the fact that Jesus died for them. You know, they believe that they're sinners, so they believe the basic tenets of the gospel. When they get down to it, they just don't come to the same point where we do in understanding where the faith has come from. But they'll even say that, you know, that to God be the glory, and they'll exalt God. There's actually what I would say is there's an inconsistency there in a sense, in what they believe and not allowing it to carry out to its natural course. And if they carried it out to its natural course, they probably would wind up in some real heretic, you know, real problematic, you know, thing, direction with concern to doctrine. But because they're able to stay in an inconsistent state, and we all can do that. We can live inconsistently to some sense with what we believe. You know, when we profess faith in God and we trust in God and we know that He's sovereign over all things, how often do we, Chris, right, live inconsistently with that understanding of what we know about God's sovereignty?
Every time we sin.
Yeah, every time we sin, when we worry and we're afraid. So that's in all of us. So I think that to a degree that's it, with the Arminian, I think there's an inconsistency there in a sense. And I think that actually is important because it's what keeps them, to me, I believe, in the safe zone to say that they can definitely be saved, that they believe the true gospel, that they love the Lord. Some of them would be, you know, they just outshine us in so many ways, but it's still, at the end of the day, there's still a taint in their doctrine and some of those root issues.
In fact, if anybody's wondering, this group of professed Calvinists, and actually some of them don't even call themselves Calvinists anymore because they think Calvin was damned or is damned because they didn't think that he went far enough in his own beliefs And they think he went too far in his toleration of others that disagreed with the tulip, if you will. I'm trying to remember the train of thought that I was just going on. Oh, I was saying that, in case anybody's wondering, historically, this has always been a very tiny minority of those within Calvinism, within sovereign grace theology, Reformed theology, those that believe that every other Christian outside of the Reformed faith is damned, has never been a majority view, and I can't even think of one of the heroes of the faith that Reformed people typically universally uphold as a great teacher and hero. I can't think of one that had that view.
Yeah, there are people definitely in that camp. Like you said, thank the Lord, it's not the majority. But there are some even that, you know, there today. You hear them sometimes at debates and things that they say. And I'll be honest, I'm much more repulsed by those individuals than any on. I mean, in fact, I'm not repulsed by Arminians in general. But those individuals who condemn everybody, who think that they have every single, you know, I dotted and every T crossed, who would virtually condemn everybody in church history, because everybody in church history, when you go back, you know, there was some erroneous doctrines and things that had not developed yet. You go back to, you know, times of the Reformation, there were still things that weren't fully developed yet in their understanding of theology with men who we look up to. And so if you have that kind of, in a sense, the irony is that those very people are changing the gospel by enlarging the scope of what the gospel is, by making it more, in the sense, and more of requirements of having perfect theology, in a sense, is what makes you saved. You have to have a perfect theology. And if that's the case, right, nobody's saved. And that's why a lot of times those individuals, you give them enough time, they'll turn the cannons on each other, and they'll start going after each other for little things, and just a lot of pride there. I have a lot more concern for the souls of those individuals than I do for a lot of others, and I would much rather go out in the field, the mission field, or be a part of a church with Arminian brethren than I would those individuals.
Yeah, I agree. And we're going to our first break right now. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick right after these messages. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in His infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of His design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in His design. Thank you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arns and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics in Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours, with a little less than 90 minutes to go, is Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York. We are discussing part two. This is the second time we've addressed this new book that is yet to come out in print, but is expected soon. The Christ, the Whole Christ, and Nothing But the Christ, by our guest Mark Grimaldi. If you have questions of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we do have RJ in White Plains who has a question for you, Pastor Mark. He says, don't we have to be very careful when we speak in exclusive terms about Christ, which are very, very true, that we not lead the wrong impression that the other members of the Godhead, the Father and the Spirit, are somehow not as involved in the universe or in our lives personally as Jesus Christ?
Yeah, real quick, before I answer that, I was just going to say the book is actually out. I have it actually out already, Chris.
Oh.
I have copies. And if anybody who wants to, including the individual, RJ, who just sent an email, if they give you their address, If they're within the country, I'd be glad to send them a free copy. It'd be a little difficult for me to send it outside of the country, but not that I would, that'd be out of the question. But so anyway, if they give you the address, I will send them a free copy.
Great.
But answering that question, okay. So yeah, I think the point it is when you're dealing with the issue of how an individual is saved, right? Obviously, the emphasis is going to be on the atoning work of Christ, but. Yeah, there's no question that it's extremely important not to forget the work of the triune God in all of salvation as well, right? We wouldn't be denying that. God ordaining all things, even when we're talking about the sovereignty of God in election, in which we've been spending a lot of time just talking about, we're talking about really the sovereign choice of the Father, right? In choosing those who he would redeem his elect before time in Christ, and then Christ, out of love for the Father, goes and lays down his life for those elect. And then when we're talking about regeneration, which we've been talking a lot about as well, that, of course, is the work of the Holy Spirit, right, who regenerates individuals so that they will believe and, of course, is involved very intricately with sanctification and so on. So, yeah, there's no question. You don't want to diminish the importance of the triune God in salvation. The main intent of the book that I've written is to emphasize the importance of Christ alone, especially contrasting those kinds of people who would say, well, that doesn't seem to be that seems to be, you know, bigoted or biased in some sense, or it's so exclusive, and why can't you be more welcoming to all people, and would accuse you of having gospel that's arrogant, and so we're dealing with more addressing the need of man and the importance of Christ being the sole means of somebody being saved. So with our faith. We're justified by our faith in Christ, right, and in Christ alone, and in the whole Christ, who he is. And so that's been the focus of what we've been talking about. But, of course, he's right in the sense we don't want to deny the importance, and we haven't. This whole conversation, we've been talking a lot about the work of the Father and the Spirit, even if we haven't directly stated it, that's what we've been talking about.
Yeah, and again, when people make those comments about... you know, aren't you being bigoted? Shouldn't you be more open? They're more concerned about the feelings of men than they are about God and his holiness and righteousness. And yeah. And they're more concerned about keeping people in error as their friends than they are about offending a perfect and holy God. So... That goes on and on and on in our lives and has gone on in humanity since it began.
Yeah, if you have just another illustration, if somebody's in a house and the house is on fire and they're on the second or third floor, let's say, and there's only one means of getting out, even though there's all kinds of means, there's all kinds of exits, but they're blocked off, that there's fire in those areas, right? There's only one actual means where the person can get to safety. It wouldn't be an unloving thing to tell that individual, look, don't go through that window or don't go through that door, because that's going to lead to you being destroyed, to you dying. This is the only way here, right? We would all agree that would be the loving thing to do. You don't want to steer somebody away from the right way. And even though they may be going in a wrong direction and you grab them in a sense and say, no, this is the right way, we would all say, well, of course, that's a loving thing to do. But when we're dealing with the issue of the soul and the condition of mankind and his need and who God is, it's even more serious than that, because we're talking about not just immediate physical death. We're talking about eternal, where we are in eternity, you know, and our relationship to God. So that's the most loving thing you can do, is present the exclusive nature of the gospel, not arrogantly, but based upon the condition of mankind, who God is, and understanding who God is, who we are, and what Christ has accomplished so that we can be reconciled through that one means. So it's important to do that.
Yeah, it seems the only time humans get bent out of shape about that kind of thing, where somebody's claiming something exclusive about their religion, the only time they get bent out of shape over that exclusivity is when it comes to something religious or spiritual, especially when it comes to Christianity, because you could have health and nutrition and exercise gurus being adamant that their way that they have discovered is right and the other ways are wrong. Now, people may disagree with that person, but they're not going to usually get upset. They're going to say, well, this person's just very convicted about how he has achieved such great fitness and all that. I mean, you could go on and on when it comes to different categories of life, but it seems that only Christians get the bent out of shape opponent when it comes to these things, when it comes to exclusivity. We have to go to our midway break right now, and it's the longer than normal break. Please be patient with us. Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida requires of us this longer break because they air this program twice a day in a pre-recorded format, and the FCC requires them to use the middle break to air their own public service announcements while we air our own commercials that are heard globally. So please use this time wisely and write down the information provided by as many of our advertisers as possible so that you can more frequently patronize them, which means that they will more than likely remain as our advertisers, which means subsequently that we will remain on the air more than likely because we require their funding to exist. So please do that, and also write down questions for Mark Romaldi and send them to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Mark Romaldi. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981. Or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnsen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnsen@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, that solid-ground-books.com should be your first stop for all your gift-giving needs. Father's Day, graduation day, back-to-school day, birthdays, wedding anniversaries, bereavement gifts, housewarming gifts. I could go on and on and on. And please, when you're buying gifts, don't only use Solid Ground Christian Books for your Christian friends. Purchase gifts for your lost loved ones as well, because a gift you give them may lead them to Christ for eternity. And they are definitely the number one place to go for the finest in Christian literature from the past and present. And they are a primary sponsor of this program. We would likely not exist without the generous financial support of Solid Ground Christian Books. So, please remember, every time you purchase books from them, you help us to remain on the air. Go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I just have a few announcements to make before we return to Mark Grimaldi and our discussion on his book, The Christ, the Whole Christ, and Nothing But the Christ. Actually, it's the second part of a discussion on this book that we began a number of weeks ago. But before we return to that discussion, I just have a couple of announcements to make. First of all, this Friday, from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we are once again preempting our normal weekly coronavirus update with Pastor Joe Jackowitz of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California, because we had the opportunity and wanted to make sure we matched his schedule to have, for the very first time ever on this program, Oz Guinness. And I'm really excited about this. I've been wanting to get Oz on the program for quite a long time, and now we finally have the opportunity. He will be on Friday, June 19th, for the first hour to discuss his book, Fool's Talk, Recovering the Art of Christian Persuasion. The second hour, we have a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Return, my friend Gary DeMar, president of American Vision. He is going to be discussing a book by the late Greg L. Bonson that he has brought back into print, Against All Opposition, Defending the Christian Worldview. And that is going to be, as I said, this Friday, June 19th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So we hope that you tune in for that. Also, coming up in August, I hope that as many of you as possible will join me in heading to Maine. Wow, I'm looking at this right now for the first time. They've had to postpone the Fellowship Conference New England in Maine because of the COVID-19 restrictions. I'm amazed that they think they'll be extended that long into the future. Well, sorry about that, folks. We'll keep you updated on the Fellowship Conference New England for their new date in Portland, Maine, whenever we hear about that. It's going to be a good one with Jeff Thomas and Joel Beakey, God willing. And so we hope that you can come out whenever they reschedule that. Also, folks, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with family, friends, and loved ones, you love the fact that many of our guests and topics are never heard anywhere else, and you love winning free books and Bibles when you write in questions when we're interviewing authors, and also first-time questioners always receive a New American Standard Bible for free. You love all these things about us and more, and you want us to remain on the air. Well, please, if that's the case, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly in that fashion via credit or debit card. And if you prefer snail mail, an address will appear on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail in checks via snail mail, the old-fashioned way, made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You can also advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with us, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible, at the very least, with what we believe, and we will help you launch an ad campaign immediately. We really do need, in an urgent way, the advertising dollars from your campaign, so please, if you have a business, a ministry, a church, parachurch ministry, professional practice like a law firm, a doctor's office, a dentist, etc., whatever it is that you'd like to advertise, please let us know as soon as possible. And send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. And remember, folks, please, especially during the coronavirus pandemic that has really hit a lot of churches very hard financially, it might be including yours, the one that where you are a member, please don't siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't do that. And please don't put your own family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God. Providing for church and home, providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, is not a command of God, obviously. But if you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you have extra money that you haven't been spending on sporting events, and you haven't been able to go out fine dining, you haven't been able to go to the movies, you haven't been able to go to theatrical performances at playhouses and theaters, you haven't been going to Bible conferences, you haven't been doing a lot of things like that because they've all been shut down during this pandemic. Well, with some of that money that you've saved, could you help us remain on the air? Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, you need help finding one. No matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I may be able to help you find a church. I've helped many people find churches that they have either joined. Some of them have visited these churches on vacation. Some of them have referred these churches to other friends and loved ones who did not know that there was biblically faithful churches in their area in all parts of the world. So if you need help, send me an email address to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that's also the email address where you can write in a question to Mark Romaldi. And that is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We have a question from Grady, very faithful listener and financial supporter of this program in Asheboro, North Carolina. And Grady says, do you think that Arminianism is the reason for easy believism? Here in the South, it seems everyone you ask says they're a Christian because they were urged to walk an aisle, be baptized, or join a church. It's really heartbreaking that so many know about our Lord Jesus, but do not know him. They know about him, but do not know him. And that's Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. So do you see a connection there?
Yeah, that's a good question. What I would say is I wouldn't broad brush. I guess I would be careful to say that there are many Arminians who are sincere, devout Christians who certainly would be repulsed by people who hold to an easy believism gospel.
In fact, some of those very Arminians would say that's the fault of Calvinism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they would say that we believe that God's going to save whoever he's going to save anyway,
and also perseverance of the saints.
Yeah. So I would definitely say that kind of lean is more within an Arminian camp. One's on the spectrum there, but I wouldn't equate all Arminians with that. Like I said, because there are a lot of Arminians who would take a stand and who do, and who would look at such individuals and say, look, if you're not living the life, if there's no repentance, if there's no evidence of salvation, then you're not saved. So I don't want to identify everything with Arminianism and, or everybody in there in one stroke, one stroke. But I would say that generally the people who are in that camp, I think a lot of them would hold to an Arminian theology. But there may be some Calvinists as well, like you said, who think that God's going to save whoever he's going to save anyway, and they emphasize that, and so they don't do anything. They call them the frozen chosen, right? So I guess I would be careful. I wouldn't want anybody to associate broad brush Calvinism with people who are who don't do missions or things like that, and so I wouldn't want to do that to us. I wouldn't want to do that to Calvinism. So I don't know. I guess to say it that way, that in itself is just an erroneous teaching. That comes from people like Joel Osteen and a lot of these guys as well who don't have a gospel really at all, have a soft gospel. They don't teach repentance. They don't teach the whole gospel. I think that's more of an issue of people neglecting the area of the whole gospel with respect to repentance and the necessity of bearing fruit, as opposed to just linking it to Arminianism. I don't think you have to link it to the Arminian link, per se. But I could see that connection as well if you carry it out, you know, Arminianism to some extent also. I could see that.
Yeah, I think it has historically normally come from like a hybrid of Arminianism and dispensationalism.
Yeah.
That, of course, it's grown much beyond that now. But the belief in eternal security and at the same time believing that anybody at any time can be convinced to follow Christ if you are diligent enough and persuasive enough and eloquent in speech and so on. There are some who have said, some very famous people, that if you don't lead somebody to Christ who's lost, it's really your fault. And that anybody, if the right words are spoken, can be led to Christ. And they really have a very deluded version of what salvation really is. They think if you could convince somebody to recite a prayer, that right. means that they're saved with certainty. So yeah. I think it does most of the time deal with a insufficient or erroneous anthropology, a wrong understanding of the level of depravity of man. And so there are things that are linked to Arminianism for the most part, although, as you said, there are even, sadly, Reformed churches that have become hyper-grace, if you will, that they really have left the lordship salvation camp and do not believe in the necessity of repentance.
Yeah, and also, Chris, I think of a part of the, and I don't want to say the root because it goes back even to the time of Christ. You know, Paul's dealing with some of those issues. You see that in the scriptures. But I think Charles Finney and his work with the altar call is in some way, is at the root of a lot of that as well. Putting your identity with Christ based upon that you walk down the aisle, you know, some kind of action that you did one time. So as long as you walk that aisle, as long as you did this act, it's almost like you're putting your faith in the act and not Christ itself, Christ himself. So I think Charles Finney, in my opinion, is, if I could label a person who's had a huge impact in that way, he would be one individual.
Well, thank you, Grady. It's always great to hear from you. And we're going to get you a copy of Mark Grimaldi's book. As he has said, they are now in print. So keep your eyes open for that. We have Johnny in Queens, New York, formerly from Hong Kong. There are many, and there's a reason why Mark laughed. He's not.
That's an inside joke.
He's not an anti-Asian racist or something.
No, he
knows Johnny, as I do. There are many professing Christ followers that proclaim to worship Jesus exclusively, i.e. Jesus only, Oneness Pentecostals, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, etc. How do we know that we are proclaiming, following, and trusting the whole Christ and nothing but Christ?
So how do we know that we are proclaiming?
I guess he means the real Christ.
Yeah, I think part of that is that we need to understand, and that gets into the, like you said, the whole Christ is recognizing that Christ is a single person. Right, but with two natures, and I get into that in the book, and the importance of believing in him as fully man and fully God. And as fully God, there, while he shares the same nature, the same essence, and essential nature of the Father and the Holy Spirit, that we recognize that there also is a distinction of personage within the Trinity as well. And so while we don't understand that to the fullness extent, because it's you'd have to understand the fullness of God, we do understand that there are different roles. One of the ways that we understand the distinction of persons and why this is important for salvation is that each of the persons have different roles with respect to creation and with respect to salvation. And so, for example, the Father didn't die on the cross, right? The Father didn't become man. He didn't take on our nature. The Holy Spirit didn't do that either. Jesus isn't the one who regenerates people, right? That's the work of the Spirit. Jesus is not the electing, the source of our election. That's the Father. So we see the distinction of the persons and how they relate to us in the creation and also with respect to salvation. With respect to the essence of God, obviously we can't grasp right the fullness of that or anything close to the fullness of that. But the reason why that's important is because our faith with respect to salvation has to specifically be in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we're told that we're to exercise in Acts chapter 20 repentance toward God, right? We're turning from sin and acknowledging our sin to God, and our faith is in Jesus Christ for salvation. So while we have a faith in the Father, in a sense, right, his promises and so on, we don't exercise faith in the Father for dying on the cross for our sins and for redeeming us through his shed blood, right? That's through Christ. Where that becomes an issue is if you hold to a position with almost like a oneness perspective, where that can become a problem is you may start to be able to link several religions together and say, well, technically, they do believe in this particular faith, let's say in the Jewish faith, that there is one God, and if they're having faith in that one God, technically they're still having faith in Christ. You know, in other words, you're connecting everybody together as one person within the Godhead. So the distinction of persons is extremely important, especially because of our faith needs to be grounded in Christ and in Christ alone with respect to our salvation, particularly with respect to his shed blood and so on, and not in the Father in that sense, right? Not when it comes down to the atonement and so on. It's directly in Christ, and that's what the Father wants us to do. And it's for the glory of the Father and in obedience to the Father, and our repentance is directed toward God, right? Which would include, of course, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So I hope that didn't confuse anyone, but I think that's why the idea of the distinction of persons is important for salvation as well. And the oneness, even, you know, I didn't get into all the oneness Pentecostal and things like that, but that's a dangerous gospel because it conflates the work of each individual person and almost creates a schizophrenic God. And it really does when you look at John's gospel and Jesus praying to the Father. It just really brings a lot of problems with it.
Well, thank you, Johnny. And you're getting a free copy of the book as well. We have Mary in Cork, Ireland. And she says, I'm sorry I missed the start of your show, so I'm not sure if this was addressed. In light of all the chaos, conflict, and confusion that's taking place at the moment, when right is wrong and wrong is right, do you think there will be a persecution for Christians sooner then later, as they continue to preach that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life? He alone is the Savior. We know from Scripture that this message will be hated.
Yeah. Now, that's a good... I do think, again, I don't know... I wouldn't say that, you know, this is the last final days and all that. I wouldn't get into that, because they believe that during the, you know, the Reformation times. They believe that all throughout history there were times where there were these kinds of great upheavals and things like that. It could very well be, you know, in that sense. I don't know. I don't know the specific time, but I would say that I believe my eschatological view is that in the end, that the church will be thoroughly persecuted and, you know, and cornered in a sense as a whole. But to encourage, was that Mary said?
Yes.
Mary, in what she said, I would say that we do live in a time, and this is especially in our country, but really throughout a lot of the world, at least the big nations that we're aware of, where people have embraced, right, a postmodern subjectivism where everybody tends to be governed by the law of emotion, like what you feel, as opposed to objective truth. It's you kind of create your own law. And so that's what the colleges teach, that's what the media teaches, the movies, and that's why it's very difficult in this situation that we're in right now to reason with people. Because reasoning is almost outdated. Reasoning, logic, statistics, those kinds of things are out the window. But the encouraging thing that we have is that we know, even when reasoning was in during the time with the Greeks and following, right, that can't save a person. We do know that the gospel of Jesus Christ, just proclaimed, is what God uses to cut through whatever it is that is keeping us from the truth. And so it's better to focus on the gospel, just getting the gospel out there and trusting God to give the increase and the Spirit of God to work than to trust in, you know, in our own means of trying to meet the culture where it is. We don't have to meet the culture where it is. We have to meet the culture where God says it has to be met, and trust that through the gospel he will rescue people and bring them into the right mind and so on. So we don't want to take it from a political standpoint. Let's focus on the gospel, which can reach people even though they're in this subjective, this mesmerized state of subjectivism. The gospel will go through.
And of course there are people being persecuted in all various levels now.
More than ever. Yeah, more than ever.
You have the persecution returning to Chinese Christians, where there seemed to be a period of grace, or should I say, of lenience and tolerance, but that is evaporating. And you have people by being persecuted by Muslims for their Christian faith all over the world, and to a lot lesser degree, but still very serious. There are people here in the United States who lose their jobs, their careers, because of their faith, because of things they will not do, or because of things that they believe and have said for their opposition in love to homosexuality and all kinds of things. So,
yeah, I think what makes it, I think, Chris, like you were saying, and just because of the numerous amount of people we have in the world at this point, the persecution is even more now. We don't realize it in our country, but it's more now than it ever has been, especially in the Middle East and some of those nations. But I think one thing that lends itself to what Mary was saying, at least along the lines of thinking toward the end, is that the way we have the Internet and this connection to everyone in the world through electronic means, and how an event can take, like what took place in Minneapolis, that event can be worldwide, and it is worldwide known right throughout a lot of the world, and it's creating things throughout the world, all kinds of protests and riots, and not just in our country. And it does lend itself to see how this thing can easily become a worldwide issue at any time the Lord, you know, strikes the match, so to speak, just to speak to what you were saying.
Well, thank you, Mary, and although we don't ship out books overseas, we know that you intend for an American to get this booklet, so we'll make sure that he does, and we thank you so much for writing in. Always excellent questions coming from Cork, Ireland. And we have to go to our last break right now. If you have a question of your own, I would send it in immediately before we run out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And guess what, folks? Mike Gaidosh, founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, will be our guest this Thursday, letting us know about new things in print that we should seriously consider purchasing for loved ones, and other things that I'm sure the Lord will raise up in our conversation. He always does an excellent job as a guest on this program. And before that, tomorrow and Wednesday, Mac Tomlinson of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, returns as our guest. And please keep praying that my brother John, who lives about 10 minutes away from Mac Tomlinson in Texas, that he invites or is willing to accept a visit from Mac again. My brother John is not born again, and he has critical stage emphysema and other things going on, and I would love to have the confidence to know that he will be with Christ for eternity when the Lord so chooses to take him off of this earth. So please keep praying for Mac Tomlinson to be used mightily in the life of my brother. And of course, I already told you on Friday, we've got for the very first time Oz Guinness, and we've got returning to the program Gary DeMar for the second hour this Friday on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And now, if you have a question, send it in to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. For our guest today, Mark Romaldi, one of two pastors at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York. We are discussing part two of a discussion we began weeks ago on the Christ, the whole Christ, and nothing but the Christ, which is the title of Pastor Mark's new book. And we look forward to hearing from you with your questions. And we have a question from an anonymous listener who wants to know, how do we convey to those who are heartbroken that they have loved ones who have never heard the gospel and are already deceased? How can we stop them from having just nothing but a devastating, nightmarish future awaiting them with thoughts of their loved ones?
When in other words, their loved ones have been deceased and they didn't know the Lord.
They didn't even ever hear the gospel at all, according to the knowledge of the listener.
Yeah, and then the individual they're saying, though, who had that loved one happen to them, they're going to have a difficulty in this life, in other words, thinking about what's going on with their loved ones who passed away?
Yeah, basically, how do we comfort them?
Yeah. Yeah, what I would say with that, and that's, of course, a very difficult thing to imagine. I know anyone, if you think about anybody who is, you know, has not received the gospel, has not received Christ, that can really torment you just trying to imagine, you know, their condition. And I think that I would try to encourage them in their own personal walk with the Lord and talking to them about the grace of God in Christ and for them to see the goodness of God and, you know, just to encourage them in their own walk and to find comfort in the Lord and knowing that He is good and He's righteous. And I would also say that, you know, we don't have to figure out who is in hell and who isn't, right, from the people who have passed on in our lives. We don't know, you know, this, again, not to give a false hope, but we don't always know, you know, what could have happened at the end. If we had opportunities to give them the gospel, that's great. In this case, you're saying that they've know they never heard the gospel, so that's obviously going to be grievous. But we could just try to encourage them not to focus on that. I mean, I don't think we have to focus on where people from the past are, but we can focus on where people are now. People who are alive, other people in our families who maybe not know the Lord. Maybe to encourage them and motivate them to give the gospel to them, and just to remind them of the goodness of God and His grace and His love. And I don't think we're called to think about our loved ones who passed away in those ways. I don't think that that's something God is saying, you know, that that's a healthy thing for us to do. That would just be the way that I would see it.
Yes, and I've been to funerals where pastors have very rightly deflected the attention from the person in the casket when it is fairly certain, according to the knowledge of everyone present, that that person never made a profession of faith in Christ, where the pastor deflects the attention from that person and onto every individual sitting there with an earshot of what the pastor is saying, where your own heart and mind and soul are challenged about the future if you are not a Christian, that dwelling on the afterlife of the person who has passed is not important for the person sitting there. They have to count the cost and so on about their own eternal destiny, and they have to be challenged to repent and come to Christ. And of course, I have met people who are certain that their parents or siblings of theirs or somebody else in their family, they are certain they are in hell. And every time they tell me that, I say, were you with them when they died? Most of the time they say no. Then I said, how can you be so certain? I mean, you don't know if you've evangelized your parents. How do you know what the Lord may have finally done with that evangelism, even if you weren't present to hear it? Our being present does not affect the salvation of anybody.
Sometimes I think you like you said, Chris, you thank, encourage them when they know they've had the opportunity to give the gospel to them, to be encouraged to know that there was a seed there of some sort, and that we don't know to the very end what God might have done with that seed. You know, we can't think about that. And but again, even if we didn't, some people can bear guilt and say, I wish I did. You know, you can't go back at this point. You can concentrate on what you have in front of you now. You know, learn from that and just still to commit that to the Lord. You can't. We're not called to go back and think about where all our relatives are and who's where, and that will just be counterproductive and probably cripple us from doing anything effective now in the present.
And in fact, this is one of the precious and beautiful things about the Reformed faith, because when all is said and done, we know that salvation is of the Lord, that He is sovereign over it. And if you have a system of theology outside of Reformed thinking, an Arminian, for instance, really has no excuse to have a peaceful night's sleep if a loved one dies lost, because according to their own theology, if they had been diligent enough and loving enough and Christ-like enough and biblically literate enough to, on a consistent basis, evangelize and show the love of Christ to those people, they would have come in saving faith. So in essence, if an Arminian's theology is held logically and consistently, that person's eternal damnation is on their head. But it seems that God has mercy on these folks with inconsistent and false understandings of things, who are our brothers in Christ, because they do typically, after a while, sleep peaceful nights, many nights, because they're not really thinking logically and consistently according to their Arminianism.
Absolutely.
They can't really say, according to their own theology, will not the judge of all the earth do it as right and leave it in God's hands?
And there's always the question, what if I did, like you said, what if I did more than haunt them? What if I did this?
Right.
Maybe I could have convinced them, you know, in that sense, yeah.
Well, I want you to, for the next 4 minutes, summarize what you most want our listeners to remember when we leave this program today.
Yeah, I think the most important thing to remember, as we've been talking about these things, is that what the book is that I have is all about, really, is that to keep Christ in view. He is our only hope. Christ, who is the atonement, who brings us into fellowship and relationship with God and with one another. He is the answer, in fact, to what's going on in society today. The reconciliation of people, whether it's races or whatever it is that's going on that separates us, it really comes down to the cross of Christ that is what brings us all together. And so it encourages us to fix our eyes on Christ, as the one who can bring about reconciliation in every sense, as Christ and as his person, his full divinity, thinking about who he is as God and his abilities as God and also as man, and his ability to identify with us and what he's accomplished as man for us and his empathizing for us and our weaknesses, and also the exclusivity of his atonement and of who he is, knowing that we can rest completely in Christ. There's nothing left in us to merit. There's nothing that God has left in our court where we are required to do something to merit salvation. It's completely and only in Christ. And as we focus there, that will actually be the greatest motive and that will drive us and compel us to live for his glory and to overcome sin. The greatest way to overcome sin is to recognize what Christ has done for us to deal with our sin. And so just to encourage us to fix our eyes on Christ, the whole Christ, and nothing but the Christ.
Amen. And by the way, I think I forgot to tell the anonymous listener, if you email me your full name and mailing address, obviously we will keep your confidentiality intact. But send us that information and you will get a free copy of Mark Grimaldi's book, The Christ, the Whole Christ, and Nothing But the Christ. We do have time for one more listener. Let's see here. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who asks, I know that you've written your own book, but are there also other books by great men of God that you can recommend on this subject?
No, I am the only there are many, many excellent books that certainly present the gospel and Christ crucified, and you know, there's the reason why I wrote this particular book, and maybe there's some uniqueness to it, is that it's short. It's 70 or 80 pages, and it deals with, as I said, things from the perspective of the fullness of why Christ is necessary, and dealing with the exclusive nature of the gospel. You'll find that in all kinds of books, any kind of systematic theology, any kind of exhaustive work on the cross of Christ, but it'll be probably in larger volumes. If you want to just get simple gospel books that you can give out, you know, like Ultimate Questions is always a good one, or some of Peter Jeffrey's works. He has a lot of good books on the gospel. There's a lot of good things in there as well that are short. So I wanted this to be more for to encourage the people of God, because I do talk about the encouragements that we have from this, and also as a means of something that can be given out to others, especially today when they're questioning the exclusivity of the gospel and having an issue with that and seeing that as biased and so on. So I'm hoping there's some uniqueness to it in one sense, but there's definitely all kinds of great volumes out there. You know, you can get into Sproul and MacArthur and all the guys I don't have to name that you're all aware of that have written tons of books that deal with the cross and details that I don't even get into. So that answers the question.
Well, there's also Sinclair Ferguson's book, The Whole Christ, which I think might be his most recent book in print.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I would.
That's a wonderful book, yeah.
I would urge you to go to cvbbs.com, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com, and look up The Whole Christ, Legalism, Antinomianism, and Gospel Assurance, Why the Marrow Controversy Still Matters, by Sinclair Ferguson. Well, I want to thank you so much, Pastor Mark. If you could hold on the line when we go off the air so that I can give you a proper goodbye. I want to thank everybody who listened today. I want to thank everybody who sent in questions, and any of you that have not yet given me your full mailing addresses, please do so very soon so that I can have these books shipped out to you. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. We look forward to hearing from you and your questions for Mac Tomlinson tomorrow and Wednesday right here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. God bless.